Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand? LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game.
At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and bricks swimming in the Fansmanship podcast episode. Gosh, I think we're at 102 or 103 now. You can see it on the top of your page there. Owen Main here, and today we have in studio a special guest. It is Alex Janikowski. Janikowski, right?
Jankowski.
Jankowski. Ugh, not like Sebastian.
I'm not kicking for the Raiders, yeah.
Alex Jankowski. Alex J. Jankowski.
Correct.
From the Slow Tribune. How's it going?
Doing well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Happy Sunday.
Yes.
Is this your day off?
This is my day off. I got my first fantasy football draft of the season under my belt earlier today, and got another one on Monday. It feels good to be back in the swing of things with the fall coming up.
Who is your number one pick?
Calvin Johnson.
Okay.
I was at six.
Megatron.
I was at six overall. Okay. And the way it was a Yahoo draft, and the way they had the rankings was Calvin Johnson at six, and I'm like, well, I saw Eddie Lacy was above him, and I'm thinking in my head, I would probably pick Megatron over Eddie Lacy, and
right.
but that's not how it played out. I got, you know, it went as it was supposed to, and got six overall.
So somebody else picked Eddie Lacy ahead of you,
right?
So you felt pretty good.
I felt great. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many teams in said league?
It's a 10-man team.
Okay.
So.
10 team league. Good deal. And so. Alex, you are the preps writer for the Tribune, for the sports section of the Tribune. So you're J.D. Scroggins' counterpart in terms of covering high school stuff. Of mm-hmm. course, J.D. covers college sports here in San Luis Obispo, and he's had a busy week and a half or so. I talked to him about that on our kind of inaugural podcast with the Hurricane and Scroggs podcast that you can also find on fansmanship.com and hopefully soon in other places as well. What's these past, like, I don't know, 3 weeks look like for you? I know you've been trying to get around to all the football teams and trying to interview them and getting previews for all the teams in the county, right?
Yeah, it's been busy to say the least. You know, when I believe Black Monday was how it was dubbed for Cal Poly News hit, I had that day off actually too, because I had worked the previous Saturday, or I was working the following Saturday. And I came in then on Tuesday and had to kind of help on the college side of things. You know, Paul Holliher, I kind of, you know, got in touch with him and did the men's soccer story.
Yeah. So you were the one that talked to him. I do want to ask you about that since you mentioned that. I wasn't planning on it. He went to Maui, like, kind of randomly, kind of at a really bad time in the season. Did he sound like he understood all that and he kind of didn't care? What was, like, the tone? Because Paul's always been a really interesting guy to interview. What was the tone of that interview?
The tone, the impression that I got, it's difficult when for me to come in and then the first time I talk to someone is, well, you know, is the way the situation was 3 days before their practicing begins. He kind of jumped ship a little bit. He made it sound like it was something that had been coming for a while. I guess he had been going to Maui in the past for camps and. You know, he had this relationship with the guy there with the soccer club. And then he had, I believe the quote was that it was always the plan for him to head out there. But as far as the timing goes, you know, he was kind of sticking to the everything happens for a reason, life's an adventure script. But I can tell you in talking with Ruskin, who's taking over as the new head coach, timing was not that great.
It was not ideal. Right?
Ideal.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And if you just want to get just a tiny bit closer to the mic, I could hear you fine, but that was just as a FYI. Yeah. So Ruskin probably is like, dude, really? like, this is what I'm left with. And the men's soccer team last week went and tied Cal in an opening scrimmage. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I feel like they have a ton of talent. Mm-hmm. Holler did leave the program better than when he came in. In my communication with him, whenever we talked, he did talk about, like, the U.S. soccer in general. He's, like, really into development of players, young players, and so forth. And maybe that's kind of the path that he wants to be on eventually, not kind of constrained by the NCAA, because the NCAA, for whatever it is, it's not super soccer friendly. Mm-hmm. You don't see a ton of players come out of a college and then play for like the national team or something like that. Mm-hmm. You see players who are on the national team who've been playing their whole lives in Germany or who have gone and played somewhere when they were young. Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of guys who kind of came out of college and were, mm-hmm. you know, in this last World Cup team, you know, anyway, yeah. who are, you know, really great college players or something.
Yeah. Soccer academies.
You
more,
just, so, yeah, you just don't have enough, time to train. I mean, the NCAA limits all the time, the coaches' contact time. I know that was always, it seemed really frustrating to him. So for that reason, it wasn't surprising. I would have not been surprised if it was at the end of a season that all this happened. To have it happen when it did in terms of timing was super weird. I didn't have you on to talk about Cal Poly soccer, though. I had you on to talk about the preps and talk about yourself a little bit. I want, for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about kind of where you're from. I'm always interested in people's first impressions of San Luis Obispo. You probably got that idea when I was picking your brain at the Mission basketball tournament last year.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of interested and curious as to kind of how people end up in San Luis Obispo. So how did you end up in San Luis Obispo? Where have you been before? And how did that all kind of take place?
Yeah, interesting journey. It wasn't, a point A to point B. It was, you know, plenty of other stops on the way. Grew up, born and raised right outside of Buffalo, New York, a suburb of Buffalo, and didn't even know I was going to be getting into journalism when college came around. I went to school in Central New York my freshman year of college for music industry, thinking I was going to be a producer or something like that. Ended up...
What kind of music are you into? A
little bit of everything. Not a huge country fan, maybe just because I don't relate to it. But then again, I do listen to my fair share of hip-hop and definitely don't relate to that lifestyle either. But so I was kind of all over the place a little bit. I played the tuba in marching band and things like that. Over football, I quit football and joined marching band.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then eventually... wrote a really passionate paper in a composition class about the prospect of the Buffalo Bills moving to Toronto, which is interesting because that was my freshman year of college, so 2007, and that's still very much, in the news. So really passionate paper about that and, realized I had more passion in that paper than I did in any of my music classes that I was taking. And so... Once I started to look elsewhere and I thought, okay, maybe journalism or some sort of writing was more for me. And I transferred to Rutgers University in New Jersey.
In Jersey, huh?
And they have a great student newspaper there, one of the few universities that has a daily newspaper still.
Right. Even the Mustang Daily isn't daily.
Exactly.
It's the Mustang News
now.
Yeah,
so we were a five-day-a-week paper. And so as an associate sports editor there, I was covering Division I athletics. I wasn't on the main football beat, but I was at football games and wrestling and things like that.
Okay.
And then came out of college, worked in Connecticut a little bit at a weekly, and then got a job in Alaska, which is usually the big talking point once I mentioned that I lived in Alaska for 2 years right away prior to coming here. Yeah. Sports editor of a daily newspaper there. Small town, but very, very much impassioned when it comes to high school sports.
Yeah, so that was in Ketchikan, right?
Yes, Ketchikan, Alaska, southeastern, south of Juneau. So, the main thing with Alaska, or where I was rained a lot.
Right.
Relentlessly.
Right. So basketball's the sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, do high schools even have football teams
there? There was a football team. About 20 kids came out.
Okay. And they played against... kids from like all the way up and down, like to Juneau, all the way up to Anchorage sometimes?
They would do a swing up north, where they do some Kenai Peninsula Anchorage teams. Sometimes they would go up to Fairbanks, but really the league that they were in was with Juneau and Sitka.
Sitka, that's the other one I was thinking
of. And Juneau is about 350 miles away, but it's one of the closest cities.
That's people. If you're picturing Alaska, it's that huge chunk up to the upper left of Canada, the northwest of Canada. But southeastern Alaska is just kind of a little strip, and the United States has most of the coastline there is actually Alaska. Mm-hmm. All the way down almost to Vancouver is Alaska. And some of the islands out there are really beautiful. I've been, you know, out to Cake and some other random, you know, random islands down there, Juneau for sure. And we've had, you know, projects in like, for my work in like Angoon and other places like that too. So, you know, you're talking some of those little villages there. Ketchikan's a huge hub though. I mean, for that area.
Considering, yeah.
Yeah, it may as well be a big city. I mean, they get big city like, I think
have a Walmart.
I spoke to someone who saw Richie Havens there one time, you know, play music. So that was like a big deal at some point. It was like probably only 5 years ago, but but yeah. Anyway, so Ketchikan's a pretty cool place. Big totem poles in Ketchikan, is that?
Yes,
is that a big?
To my knowledge, the largest collection in the United States are in Ketchikan, and more specifically Saxman, which is the native. Town inside the borough, the city of Ketchikan is Saxman, which has totem pole parks, and so when cruise ships come through in the summers,
that's where they go.
Big boom once those guys come in.
And actually, if you fly into the airport in Ketchikan, fun fact, you have to take a ferry to get to the actual city because the airport is across the river or across the sound or something.
The Tongass Narrows, it's about a 10 minute ferry ride across. One of the only airport I've ever been to is certainly where
it's
you have
just
that.
Remote.
Yeah.
Yeah. You come in late, you know, you don't have to worry about getting a rental car. You got to worry about your ferry leaving or not. And so they got to plan for all that and get people out of the airport and into the airport. Super interesting. So you said people are like impassioned about their high school sports. What were the main ones? Like volleyball, basketball? Was that the indoor sports were the big ones?
Basketball. Without a doubt, it was all basketball. I mean, that's when interestingly enough, the 2 years that I was there, their baseball team, 1 year went to the state final. They only had 520 kids at their school, but played in the largest division.
Totally. That's a huge school for Alaska.
See, and for that area, it was a good size, but they would go up and play Anchorage schools, which had 2000 kids. Right. But still the baseball team made it to the state final 1 year and to the state tournament the second year. Uh-huh. But basketball without a doubt is the most passion. That's the one, I had a coach put it to me. A basketball coach put it to me, I'm the only one who could get fired for his performance the way, you know, the other coaches you're talking about, you know, volunteers for the other sports. But for basketball, that was the big draw without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, when it's so cold, when it's so rainy, and this part of Alaska is not actually super cold. It's more of rainforesty, just super rainy, lots of rainfall, and especially in the wintertime, right?
Yeah. Seattle's climate.
Right.
Is basically how it's looked to, but rain's actually a little bit more. I would say it snowed a couple times, but rain would come the next day and wash it out.
So if you have a daily sports page there, you're talking like a couple of one or two stories a day. Is that kind of how that looks like on a page? Is that kind of the layout mostly?
Yeah, one or two. Yeah. And they did, because you were so far away from the other schools, a lot of travel was involved in terms, you couldn't just drive.
Right, of course.
It was a ferry or an airplane.
Yeah.
So a lot of sports would happen over the weekends. So my Sunday for Monday, for the Monday paper, I sometimes would write five or six stories in terms of, if it's the spring and I have to see how baseball, softball, track, all these other sports did, you know, checking in on them.
Right.
Ended up doing quite a bit on the weekends.
I can picture that. And so you came straight from Ketchikan and you said how did you end up in San Luis? Like, what was that process?
Well, a former editor of mine in Ketchikan was down here visiting a former coworker of hers in Wisconsin. The first paper she ever worked at, she worked with the executive editor here at the Tribune. And so they had gotten to talking, and it was on my birthday that they were meeting. And so she had texted me just to say happy birthday and that she's, you know, she's meeting here with this person. I'm like, oh, hey, if they need a sports writer, you know, I'd be interested in hearing more. And right away, I got a text back. They do apply and stuff. And so
it's all about kind of who you know and timing, man.
It's timing. It was, yeah.
That's
that
the
was,
world.
That was
That's
fate
crazy.
Right there. So by the time the interviews began, and then end of November, early December, I was driving through. I was on a ferry, had my car packed. I took a ferry down to Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah.
And
how long of a ferry ride is that? A couple days?
2 days, yeah.
So what's that like when you're on a ferry? Do you have like a stateroom, right? You have a place to sleep?
I decided to get one. You could opt not to get a room.
In which case, you sleep in your car?
There's a solarium, kind of like a general meeting place.
That people just crash.
People just bring sleeping bags. And in an effort to save money, I can tell you they know that if you want a room that you'll pay for it, and they hike up the prices quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, but I still opted. I needed a room. I needed my own. There's, you know, they could use a communal shower also, but I needed, Jose. Yeah, for 2 days I needed, you know, my own little, place. And the room is, it's small. It's a bunk bed,
but it's at least your own space.
And it's my own.
It's like what you see on a train or something like that. It's the same kind of size. It's a room with a bunk bed on the side, right? Like a walking space, a bunk bed, and a bathroom.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you have.
Okay, so that's an interesting trip then, and you drove down from Seattle.
Yep, and then the roughest part ended up being in Oregon, where they got a unexpected snowstorm and about 5 degrees temperature wise, it dropped down and a lot of ice. And so I had to get snow chains for my car, which I'd never done before. So Honda Civic.
Wait. You're from Buffalo and you never had to get snow chains?
Because we had snow plows who knew, you know, who had multiple snow plows and knew what they were doing. And
they were prepared.
The second snow would hit the ground, they'd be out going.
Okay.
This was not the case here in Oregon. So snow chains on the car, which I had never had to deal with before. It took me 2 extra days, but my final day, I think it was on a Sunday, and I was starting work the next Monday.
Wow.
So I got up at about 5 in the morning and hit the road 12 hours straight through, stopped once at an Arby's in like Redding, I believe it was, California. Came all the way through.
Wow. Just hauled it down.
Just hauled it down, got here finally. And I got to tell you, even though that was, you know, a tough drive, December is the best month to move from Alaska to California, without a doubt.
I can imagine. And so you came here sight unseen. Like, you'd never been here before. You'd never been to the Central Coast, right? And you kind of decided that this was the place you were going to go.
Correct. My girlfriend, now fiance, had...
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. She had come out with me to Alaska, and sight unseen there also. And
so you went to Alaska sight unseen, and this girl followed you to Alaska, came out there with you.
And that's when I started to get, all right, she's a keeper, you know?
Yeah.
From everyone.
And then she came down to San Luis Obispo.
Exactly. Okay. And I felt, you know, all right, maybe I owe it to her now. You know, why don't we get to a little bit better climate, a little bit better, area, and
make it happen.
Yeah. And we've loved it ever since, you know. It's been here since December, and looking forward to now, this will be my first time covering football. And it's been a blast so far just preparing for it.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, where I met you was like at the Mission basketball tournament last year, which must have been a week after you got here.
Yeah, that was one of my first things that I covered.
Yeah. And so your kind of overall impressions, I always am just about the area in general. When you got here, like, what are your impressions about the area? What are your impressions about San Luis Obispo? I'm always interested to like hear, like, have you ever heard of it before you heard that there was a job there, like, you know, what I've talked to like college coaches who said, it's just a place I drove through before. Yeah. I never actually stopped there until I got like the interview at Cal Poly, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I had one interaction with Cal Poly prior in that I covered wrestling at Rutgers, and the time I went to Nationals, Boris Nabotchkov made it to the finals that year.
That guy was a boss.
And I
that guy was awesome.
Lost to, was it Russell of Michigan, I believe?
Okay.
141 or 149. And anyway, so that's the first time I'd heard Cal Poly, and it stuck in my head just because it was a school I'd never heard of before. You know, you get to that level of competition, and I had known all the schools. And then when I was up in Alaska on an article I was writing about a former swim coach, he used to come down to San Luis Obispo and train.
Okay.
So that was the first time I heard San Luis Obispo.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, I came in not knowing a whole lot. But my impression so far, I mean, it's been a blast. I've loved it here. You know, just the ability, the accessibility of so many things, whether it be the beach or if you can do a weekend trip to San Francisco or LA. But we kind of love it here because coming from such a small, remote place as we did in Alaska, I don't think we would have been able to go right to a big city. It would have been a little overwhelming.
Sure.
But this has been excellent. You know, okay. I mean, it's kind of still that small town feel and stuff.
Yeah. But it seems like a metropolis compared to there, but it's actually like a kind of a normal average size kind of city or county in general. Like
we don't use Amazon as much as we,
oh my gosh, Amazon. I lived up in the bush in Alaska for about 3.5 months up in Aniak, you know, on the lower or mid Kuskokwim, kind of upriver from Bethel. And I used so much Amazon because there were no stores, there's no whatever. so. And they do actually a pretty decent job of shipping stuff out there. It was like, you know, two, 3 or 4 days and I'd have a book or whatever. That was pretty good. So, so you're here now and you got here for basketball season. And of course you got to cover, you know, Atascadero and their run last year. I really feel like this is kind of a golden age for prep basketball in this county with, Robbie Berwick last year graduating, Cameron Walker and Quentin Adlesh coming up on their senior years. You know, you have other players too who are, you know, kind of up there in terms of skill sets. I mean, you just have kind of all over the place. You have really, really good players and coaches who are kind of coming into their own too, I think. What's that like for you in terms of like being able to cover some of these guys who are almost certainly going to play Division I basketball? I mean, Robbie's in the ACC. Cameron can kind of go wherever he wants, it seems like, according to verbalcommits.com. It's like there's a lot of offers out there for him.
And he's made his decision, though,
has
too.
When did that happen?
About a couple weeks back now.
Okay. Yeah, where's he going?
He's going to Stanford.
He
made the decision both academically and athletically. Was his decision. And
he was definitely could go wherever he wanted academically too.
Anywhere in the Pac-12, you know, in terms of basketball, they were all knocking on his door without a doubt.
So Johnny Dawkins at Stanford.
A good get for them for you know, just reading their reactions up there. You know, I mean, obviously here everyone was just happy for him, and we knew, you know, everyone kind of knew where, you know, that he was going to be a big time Division I player. It was just kind of where would he end up?
Stanford.
Cool.
So that, good for him.
There's and as you mentioned though, when I first get here, I don't know if that's the norm or not. You know, I mean, that's one of the things.
The answer is no.
Exactly, and I learned that rather quickly, talking with coaches and stuff. So being able to watch Robbie last year, you know, was a treat, as well as Quentin. I mean, when those two played each other, were you there at Oreo Grande?
I was there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah,
that was fun. And Ben Covington had his mask on.
Right. But the mask game for him, he broke his nose
a couple of days before.
Did a great job in that first half on Robbie.
Totally.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that was a fun game to cover. And then, you know, now we got another year with Quentin. And not only is it another year, it's the first year for them in the Pac-8 competing. So we got to watch them. They did play Rigetti last year. And it's interesting because him and Cam Walker are on the same AAU team.
In Compton.
Compton Magic.
Right.
And are great friends.
Right.
They are. So, you know, it was fun getting to watch them play last year, and now we're going to get to watch them play twice this upcoming year for a league championship, because those two teams should, at least on paper with Arroyo Grande, you know, be on the top tier.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're getting into football now this year, too. And you covered baseball last year. What were there any kind of different notable things? I mean, just in general, I think this area, you got to drive to get to games sometimes. Like some places that are big cities, you know, you can be within a 30 or 40 mile radius and have a ton of schools. Here it's like, man, you have to drive 30 miles to get to Paso. You got to drive, you know, 20 miles to get to Morro Bay. You got to drive 35 miles to get down to Santa Maria from San Luis Obispo, if that's where you're starting. So, what's that like in terms of your day to day during baseball season or whatever season, I guess?
Yeah, it's really all about planning, just knowing, you know, I lived up in Atascadero when I first moved here for a couple months. And so, you know, if I was going to cover a basketball game or go to a practice up northern in the northern county, just I wouldn't come down to the office beforehand, you know. But then for baseball season, I ended up being up north quite a bit because Paso Robles ended up winning the Pac-7, and Templeton also gave San Ynez a pretty good run for their money. I mean, San Ynez went on to win their Division 4, I believe, or Division 5 CIF title. And I was up there quite a bit for those sports. But overall, you know, I mean, I enjoy the drives. You know, you're able to kind of prepare yourself a little bit. You know, it's, you know, I can take that time to think out if it's an interview, you know, what necessarily the questions are going to be and how the game should turn out and things like that.
So you've been to all of the football teams by now, at least the 11-man ones in
Correct.
The county.
And all eight. Yep.
All eight 11-man teams. Yep. And there's only eight now. That's so sad.
four in each of these new five-team leagues. So, yeah.
Okay, so there's four in each of these new five team leagues?
Yeah, there's
oh, because there's one team from there's St. Joe's and
Well, because they split up.
Okay.
The football leagues now there's three instead of two. There's okay. the Pac-5, the LPL, Los Padres League,
right.
and the Northern League, which right. is newly formed. So now in terms
the Northern League is not a new name though. There's correct. There was the Northern there League was, a long time ago. Which connotates the northern part of the southern section theoretically.
Yes,
is how,
correct.
Is how it was.
Correct.
That was what AG and Slow used to be in back mm-hmm. in the day. Is that their league again?
No, they're in the okay. Pac-5. So okay. Basically what we have now, the Pac-5 is Paso Robles, Atascadero, San Luis Obispo, Arroyo Grande, and Rigetti.
Fair enough. Okay. And this is for football.
For football only.
Right, because it's Pac-8 for basketball. And
Orchid enters the LPL for non-football, so there's eight teams there now.
Orchid
too.
Academy?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they must be growing.
Yeah, this is all very confusing.
So for football, it's the Pac-5, it's those five teams.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
And then
got
the Northern League, football only exists in football. That's Templeton, Morro Bay, Napomo, Mission Prep, and Santa Maria.
Which is kind of the old Los Padres League.
Right.
Yeah, because like Los Padres, we used to be like Morro Bay. It used to be all the non-Northern League teams. So it was Morro Bay all the way down to San Ynez,
mm-hmm.
Atascadero. Los Padres had Atascadero. Los Padres had, and then some teams in Santa Maria as well. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, and, yeah.
Okay.
And,
okay. So and that's now the Northern League.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then what's Los Padres now?
That's St. Joe's, Pioneer Valley, Lompoc, San Ynez, Cabrillo.
For football. So Lompoc's like far and away been the best team in that league for a while.
Well, they were the best team in the Los Padres league. Right, exactly. So in terms of my day-to-day and my coverage, we're not even really covering much of the LPL because we only cover San Luis Obispo County
right,
and no teams
right.
from San Luis Obispo County are in it.
Right.
So yeah, my biggest focus, Pac-5 and the Northern League.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And so who are like the new coaches this year and what's been your impression of them?
Well, first off, they're all new for me, but Pat Johnston is the new coach this year at San Luis Obispo. He's the only first year coach, okay. because Morro Bay elected to bring back their
Greer
for one more year,
right.
or at least for one more year.
Right.
And so yeah, Pat Johnston was the one in terms of, the hiring and covering his hire and the hiring process there.
Right.
And so he comes from Cal Poly, brought a lot of former Cal Poly players with him and kept on also a couple, Slow High assistants as well. Okay. So he's had a pretty good mesh in terms of, you know, got familiar names for the players and then familiar names for the community in right. terms of, you know, Marty Muhammad coming in to be the defensive coordinator and things right. like that.
Yeah. He was talking about San Luis Obispo High School and Pat Johnston being the new coach there. I went and saw them play Mission. Certainly Mission looked like the more polished team. San Luis, you know, is certainly trying to get all their ducks in a row with a new coach. I'm sure it's going to take a little bit of time. I'm sure he wouldn't like it for it to take a little bit of time. And actually, I'm hoping to have Pat on our podcast at some time in the near future. That would be fun to do. I've been emailing with him about that, so we'll see how that goes. When you're dealing with a new team, a new coach, a new system, probably, and your high school players, you're gonna take some time to get used to what's going on. So, I don't have any doubt that they'll improve at least some this year. And and you know, based on what we saw, they had some flashes, some nice plays. Mission, you know, certainly in not year one of their program with their head coach there, you know, is a team that impresses. It's always fun when I see a small school, and I, you know, I went to a small school, and Mission certainly is that. That does well and competes and so forth, and they do get a lot of athletes there. What were your impressions of Mission when you saw them?
Well, they're starting to look to get back more toward a passing spread offense. That
definitely what
under,
it looked like.
Yeah, under Tyler Beatty, who's their old quarterback and stuff. But you can't blame them for getting away from it last year when you have 3,000-yard rusher Patrick Laird, who's now up, you know, making inroads at Cal.
Yeah, he's making impressions, good impressions there.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, you know, they're looking more now to spread out the field a little bit more, take advantage or kind of hide the fact that they don't have as big of bodies down low.
Yeah, they got little running back.
Exactly.
Or two. Those running backs are little speedster guys. They're probably not going to be running a ton between the tackles, I wouldn't imagine.
Exactly, yeah. It's all getting to the perimeter. And, you know, they made a decision. They had a sophomore quarterback last year in Patrick Miller, and they've decided to move him out to wide receiver, better utilize his athleticism. Coach Henry said he's most likely the best athlete on the team. Right. So just get the ball in his hands outside and have him make plays. Yeah. And they're going with another sophomore quarterback this year. And
he looked pretty good. He overthrew a couple guys. They had a receiver who had a cast block on his hand.
Yes.
Is that him?
That is not Patrick Miller.
Okay. Anyway, one of them,
Chase Bork, that's right. His name. That's
one of
right.
them, he was wide open, nobody around him. And it's like, dude, you're trying to catch it with one hand basically. Mm-hmm. And he dropped it. I'm sure his hand will get better probably over the course
right,
of time.
Right. Right. He had that when I was there at their practice, he had broken it a week prior. And yeah,
I was surprised he was still playing receiver. He did catch one touchdown too. So,
and yeah, he's a good athlete. He's probably their best defensive back as well. Chase. So, right. Yeah, but Bryce Fletterman is their quarterback. And when I saw them at practice, too, yeah, similar impressions. He's a big kid, 6'4", probably around 6'4".
Oh, yeah, he's big.
And he's got a good arm. Same thing, though. I did see him kind of overshoot a couple receivers. Yeah. But, you know, you got to...
It's the beginning of the year. Exactly. It's like, these are high school kids. This kid's probably, what, 15, 16?
Exactly.
Yeah, so
he'll rein that in. Yeah.
Guys will get there. And one of the things I really love, and I wrote this in my kind of write-up about the scrimmage, and there are pictures on fansmanship.com as well, or photos.fansmanship.com, if you want to go check those out. But one of the things that I really enjoy about prep sports especially is that you see a kid 1 year and then you see them the next year, and they're kind of a different kid sometimes, mm-hmm. because they've done X, Y, or Z to change their game or to improve. And I like that about college too, because you do see that. You know, mm-hmm. you see a freshman who looks overwhelmed at the beginning of the year. I don't think like Ridge Shipley on Cal Poly ever looked overwhelmed, but you know, he's trying to figure it out, doesn't get much time, and as a guy who's a key contributor by the end of the year, I really like that kind of a progression. And if you're paying attention, those are the kinds of things that you love to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, in terms of players, who's somebody you got the impression who maybe wasn't super heralded last year around the county, and maybe is somebody who might, you know, who could break out, maybe somebody from a team who had somebody in front of them last year, you know, like a running back or a quarterback or receiver or somebody, mm-hmm. You know, who's going to get their name out there quite a bit, you think, this year?
First and foremost, Josh Oliver at Paso Robles, a kid that you look at and you notice him on the field because he's 6'5" and 230 and is also extremely athletic. And I was surprised, actually. I had covered him in basketball because I was here for, he's their starting center. And,
right, right.
And then, you know, this summer he just committed to San Jose State for football.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
what's he play?
He plays a little bit of everything. Okay. Tight end, wide receiver, outside linebacker, defensive end. Coach Shimke kind of said, we're going to use him all over the place. And so when I looked at his measurables and I thought, okay, I'm going to go back at his stats last year and I'm going to see, you know, a great season. And he only had about 17 catches, 150 something yards. But I look at him as somebody who is on a team that returns a lot of skilled position players in Paso Robles. Main being Bailey Gaither, who had about 17 touchdowns, 1,000 yards receiving last year. There's plenty of weapons on that offense. And I think, with the size and athleticism that Josh has, I think he'll be someone who probably takes advantage of a couple mismatches.
Maybe has some kind of a breakout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've been seeing like a preseason prediction on the KSBY website about, you know, like counting down their kind of preseason top 5 or 8. And I saw today number 5 was Mission, 6 was Mission, number 5 was somebody else maybe, and I'm thinking like Lompoc's coming up and some of these other schools
if not
are coming
number
up.
One yeah.
right. And so do you guys do anything like that, or kind of do you participate in any of those kinds of polls, or do you run any of those kinds of polls throughout the season? I know they used to.
Well, we have we have a preseason coaches poll that I've conducted and have gotten results back from all the coaches, so those will be running with our each preview for the Northern League and the Pac-5, but we also do.
So that'll be this week coming up.
This upcoming week, correct?
Right, cool.
Correct.
Okay.
And because games start.
Will it
this
be like?
Friday.
Will it be like Tuesday's one league, Wednesday's another league, Thursday's another league, Friday's another league? Kind
yep.
of thing.
Okay. Yep. All right. And then for Friday's game day, and we're also putting together a top 10 media compiled poll for everyone, which includes all three leagues.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting in that, you know, not covering the LPL as much. Gonna have to rely a lot on, you know, those writers down there and stuff, and talk with them and figure that out.
I like that.
How you size them up.
I like that when media are kind of collegial that way, and you have a poll like that. I do like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're all kind of here for the same thing. You know, I mean, we get along. We tend to get along.
Yeah. Do you find that? I mean, obviously, there weren't a lot of other media in Ketchikan, but maybe other places you've been, whether it's in New Jersey, maybe it's a little more cutthroat in those kinds of markets in terms of the media. Connecticut, I'm sure it's the same way.
Right.
Do you find people are kind of like California laid back and chill when it comes to the media?
Yeah, here? Yeah, I'd say so. You know, part of it is me start trying to get like more like that too. I'm a pretty competitive person, you know, and I also need to step back and realize that we're all here for the same type of thing. Or
well, I mean, you know, there's competition too, but I mean, there's only so many sources here. There's only so many media here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's a ton of newspapers, for instance, in San Luis Obispo County. There's
correct.
A few, and the Tribune's the one of, you know, pretty much the one of record, you know. So, you know, you know, if you're in New York City, there's five newspapers and they're all competing with one another, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And I think so. Everyone, you know, when I am around it, talk with the KSBY guys at practice and stuff. Yeah, we get along.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what team do you think? You told me a player from Paso, Oliver, mm-hmm. you know, might be like a breakout guy. What's a team that just from kind of being around them, you say, man, these guys were only this record last year. Maybe those guys are really going to kind of that something that doesn't mesh, because you guys, you haven't seen any of these teams really play.
Mm-hmm.
You've just seen their records from last year and you've talked to them this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which of those teams kind of seem like, man, that's not where they belong with a, you know, 500 record or below 500 record? This team's going to be better than that, you think?
Yeah, two teams, one in each league, I'd say. Arroyo Grande in the Pac-5 went 4-2 last year, and them and Paso both finished at 4-2. But even still, I mean, you look at the tradition of that program and what Tom Goossens does there as coach, along with just their history and tradition of just bringing up the next man in. And you get that feeling where, okay, talking with some of the defenders, like a linebacker in Ryan Teixeira, who will be filling in the role of Grant Alton, 130-some-odd tackle guy who's walking on at Poly now. And it's just that next man in attitude. Yeah, we're going to miss him. You know, he did a lot for us on and off the field. But, you know, now it's my turn to step up and step in. And that's a team that just consistently, you might not know the names now, but by the end of the year, believe you, you're going to know those names.
Yeah, it's kind of the... there's a total system in that place, right? Mm-hmm. In AG, there's a really clear cut like system. This is what you do to become that junior or senior who's going to be that guy who plays that much.
Mm-hmm.
And there, that's been 4 years in the making, at least. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure in terms of, you know, the summer off season before your freshman year.
Right. Every year you say, oh, they lost so many seniors, but that's only because it takes a lot for a junior to overtake a senior. So they, you know, it's just that now this year's senior time to step in.
Right.
And the other team that I'm looking to, Nipomo, now that all those teams in the Northern League are out of the shade or the shadow of Lompoc, when, you know, you're basically everyone's playing for second place. Now, I think the Northern League itself is going to be such an interesting league to look at, because there's all the Morro Bay is a team that only lost to Lompoc in league the past 2 years. And they did also graduate quite a bit. But Nipomo brings back 18 starters from last year. 36 of their 56 players this year are seniors, and they're many of them 3-year starters. So that's a team that has a lot of weapons. And talking with their coach Russ Edwards, he's had some good teams in the past and some players who have gone on to play Division One. But he says this year is the most complete team that they've ever had.
Right. So timing wise, I mean, this is their time to shine.
I was talking to the linebacker, and my question was, do you feel like the stars are aligning for you guys?
Because hopefully,
bringing back so many seniors plus Lompoc not being in the league this year, and they're primed, you know, not only to have a big league year, but just a big season in general.
A big season in general. Awesome. Again, here with Alex Jankowski. You obviously focus this time of year on football. Friday nights are huge for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's other sports in the fall as well that you guys try to keep track of. I always try to tell people who criticize, like JD at Cal Poly, yes, it's just one guy for one school, but like there's a lot of sports, and he tries to cover them all if he can. What other sports, like obviously volleyball is a big fall sport. What other sports are happening in the fall?
Yep. Volleyball will be getting going on, as well as boys water polo, girls tennis, and girls golf too as well. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and for me, I mean, obviously, yes, Friday nights are going to be reserved for football, but now that I was able to go out to all those practices and get all those previews, now in the middle of the weeks, you know, I'm going to be able to get out to more other sports. And for me, that's one of the things that I do love about covering preps, because I'm a guy who did 4 years of tennis and 4 years of swimming in high school. So I understand that there's, you know, every team has a story right. not necessarily just the football team. So yeah. I like to get out and watch those other sports and, yeah. and talk to those kids.
One that I think you should do is Pam Kenyon at Coast Union. I think she's coming back to coach. I know she's coming back to teach, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm.
She had cancer for a little while and has kind of beaten it and is on her way back. So I think she would be just to kind of put a plug in for a really good story that might be fun.
Yeah, those are the great stories.
So up at Coast Union. So Alex, it's really been a pleasure. I really appreciate the time that you put in today. Yeah, absolutely. I really hope that we'll come back again sometime soon. And,
anytime.
Yeah, it could be fun. Look for Alex Jankowski on, you can find him at Slow College. No, at
at the Preps Box.
At the Preps Box. Okay, yes, yeah. Cool. And you can follow him on Twitter at the Preps Box, and you can follow him at San Luis Obispo.
SanLuisObispo.com. Yeah, .com. Yeah. Right on our high school preps page. You know, starting to those when the previews are going to start coming up, so it'll be all over there. Yeah.
Okay, check it out this week on SanLuisObispo.com. So for Alex, I'm Owen, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me.